Father, we're in awe of you this morning because you are so amazing. There are no words to describe you, Jesus. We can just sing to you, trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the midst of triumph, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of jubilation, Lord, you're on the throne. And our arms, Lord, are reaching out that we would ask you to grab us and hold us as you already are doing, but that we would sense your nearness, sense your presence, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, so many things are in motion, and you're just looking for those whose hearts are completely yours, that our eyes would be fixed on you, that we would see you in the midst of all things. All things, all things. Thank you, Jesus. You're so beautiful, Lord. You're so lovely. You have eyes of living water and eyes of fire at the same time. That's who you are. You're everything, Jesus. In the midst of pain, in the midst of difficulty, you're everything, Jesus. And our focus is on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We see you, Lord, high and lifted up, and the train of your robe fills the temple. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that we would be undone this morning. And that we would continue as Isaiah did to see you and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And that you would define what that sending is and looks like in our heart. But it comes out of a purity of love for you, an enjoyment for you, a trust for you. So this morning, Lord, we celebrate you. And we ask you, how do we do this life without you, Jesus? We can't. Show us the way. Show us the way. Show us the way. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts would be open and completely primed to hear what you're saying. Thank you, Jesus. In the middle of the night, Andy, you can get this video ready, these two. In the middle of the night at Awaken the Dawn, about 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I want the children to hear this. So, guys, I want you to listen. I had a vision, and I want to share it with you. This was on Friday night, actually, so that would be early Saturday morning. And it was so powerful and so strong. And reports were that there were 22,000 people at Awaken the Dawn and Rise Up. I'm not sure exactly how that was broken down. I was hearing Lou, and he was saying that at times the park police were saying 30. So I don't know if that was just Rise Up or Awaken the Dawn or both. I'm not really sure. But anyway, in the middle of the night, we had two times of worship out of the three nights. And in the regional tent. And there were not 22,000 people. There were handfuls of people. And it was so glorious. It was amazing. Just so amazing. So the tent that we had, the team, if they kind of looked underneath, you know, the awning, they could see the Capitol building in the distance. I think we have two short clips of that. But I want to tell you that as I was there worshiping, I wasn't on the stage. There was a stage for that one. And then we also had times in the Ohio tent. But the regional tent was in the middle of the night for us. And there was such a power there that the people that I met when I was walking around, the next time we were there during worship, I walked around and met people in the regional tent. Again, a very small crowd. I don't care. I'm just making, just letting you know how powerful Jesus is. So I'm in the worship tent, And we had a couple times, a couple songs that were leading into this. And all of a sudden, my eyes saw, and I'm standing there, and I'm just looking at the Capitol building, and it was all lit up. It was amazing, because it was pitch black on the mall. No people are around. There's nobody walking around. And the tents, many of the tents for the Ohio, for the nation, were on either side of the mall, just lined up. And they had little Christmas-like lights around their, around the top of their, you know, ceiling, awning, whatever, the top of the tent. And that's all you could see. So there weren't all of them there. So I won't say 25 on one side, 25 on the other. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 10, 7 to 10 on each side, maybe more. Because it was split up. So what I could see from our tent were the ones on each side and then the Capitol building. So all of a sudden, my eyes were open, and I see a huge, I mean, bigger than, as big as this building. I can't even tell you how big it was, bigger than this building. Huge white horse, and Jesus was on the horse. And I literally was in our tent, and I just stepped back like this, and I saw him with eyes of fire. I could see eyes of fire. He was very large, and he had a scepter in his hand, and he was charging. It was like he was galloping, like there was this gallop, and I could hear it. And there were other horses that were next to him with people on them, but I didn't see them. I mean, I saw them out of the peripheral of my eye. I knew there were other horses that were smaller with people on them, but I couldn't even get my eyes off of Jesus. And it seemed like slow-mo, you know. I don't know how fast Jesus galloped, but it was this vision, and he's galloping. This is the first time I've told it without crying. It's amazing. And so I saw him gallop right towards our tent, and intermixed in all of that were angels. So the whole scene was white. It was just like stepping into heaven, stepping into glory, and there it was, like right in front. Our worship team didn't know. I told them after they were finished singing that one song. And it was so strong. It was so powerful. And when they came up to the tent, you know, it's huge, big white horse, big Jesus, and then just kept going, and the vision ended for me. And I was wrecked by that, and I keep seeing that in my mind's eye. I keep seeing that over and over and over again. And it's like, Jesus, all we want is to see you and hear from heaven what you're doing. And how you're asking us to track with you. Just speak to us. We want to go lower and lower. We want you to empty us out. We want you to show us where there might be stuff somewhere that gets in the way of seeing better ways to love people, better ways to extend grace, better ways to advance the kingdom, better ways to just cry out and see a nation birthed in a day, better ways to see the strong things that are coming against our country in this world, to see how we can be part of the eradication of that. When we went to Rise Up, which was on Monday, because there were two gatherings, Awake in the Dawn for 3 days, day and night, worship and prayer and intercession and many things, and then Rise Up. And we're going to watch a video in a little bit about Rise Up that was it's on my Facebook page. I think Lou Engle, you think he'd be off somewhere just kind of taking it easy for a couple years here after what he's been through. But no, he's back at it this week. So there's one I'm not showing, which was the first one that came out. I think it was Friday or Saturday. And then the next one was yesterday or Saturday. I'm losing track of my day. So there were two of them. The more recent one is longer. And he's on this, and he's talking about kind of the history, trying to grab people's attention so that those who have hungry hearts who are saying, Jesus, what are you doing? I just want to be part of what you're doing here and around the world. How do we do that? What's your way? You know, you may have something just really busting out of your gut, you know, for Israel. It's like, Israel, I don't even know what to do with this, but I pray for Israel, I think about Israel. Or maybe not. And God wants to birth something in you about Israel. Now, we're moving more and more in that direction to understand the culmination of the time that Jesus is coming back. And he cares about Israel. And he wants to bring this billion soul harvest to pass around the world. He wants us to keep going to nations. He wants us to rise up here. All these things. It's like, God, how can we do How can we do for you? What is it going to take? And he says, it's going to take what Heidi Baker said on Friday night at Awaken the Dawn. And if you weren't there, you can get it online and you can listen to it. And she went into Philippians 2. She talked about Jesus. And she said, he's the suffering servant, Philippians chapter 2. And she prayed out, cried out, sang out, let there be no selfish ambition. Let there be nothing that propels you forward that has anything of self in it. So even as we cry out, I'm a Deborah, I'm an Esther, I'm a David, I'm a Daniel, we cry out, the Lord's saying, this needs to be the cry for me. That's my heart, cry for Jesus. And how we do it and how that's going to look, it's got to be his way. I don't know how he figures this out. He's God and we're not. But when you have a vision and you see the King of Glory galloping down the mall, it's like, whoa, there's something to this. I don't care if there's a million people on the mall or 50. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's like Jesus is there, but he is calling the masses. So I myself want to learn more about what selfish ambition looks like. It's like, you know, sometimes we hear the word selfish and we go, oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm not selfish, am I? Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe there's pride. But we really don't want to hear that. But the Lord's saying, even through a great leader like Heidi, this is what will slow you down. This is what will stop. This is what will cause conflict. This is what will cause division. This will mess things up. It's really simple. It's like, oh, what is that? And back in 2007, we were in Brazil. Pastor Bill and I were doing the evangelism part of a school before all the Iris Harvest schools began. There was another one preceding that called Holy Given. And so we were there in 2007, and we were doing the evangelism deal there and taking people out in the favelas and all that. We were part of leading that, or we were part of that part of the leadership. And that's where we met Mel. And that's where we got connected to Mel Tari back in 2007. But I remember that the very day Heidi flew in, talked to some of the young kids that were going through this, you know, month school or whatever it was. And you know what she told them? She said, no selfish ambition. And I remembered it. It was like, ching. I can't tell you anything else she talked about. But I remember that. And I had not heard her speak about that until Awaken the Dawn like that. And I know her, and we know her, and we listen to her, and we track with her and all that, but not like that. So it was just like this, boom, God was saying, pay attention. Tell all those that you connect with. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for holiness and purity and humility at all costs, whatever it looks like, whatever it takes. And you're gonna have to say no to some things to be able to flow in that stream and that river. That's all I can say. I didn't write the book. But it's the truth. So I want you to watch some of this with the idea, because this a couple of these are short, and these are from Awaken the Dawn from the regional tent. Imagine, if you will, if you can, this vision that I saw of Jesus going on and galloping down the mall in the spirit. Can you play it, Andy? Thank you. Let's just go to the state tent. I know we had two there. I don't think we need the second one. I think they're at the Facebook. If they're not at front lines, they will be. But let's just show in the state tent. And many of you were there. And I'm so proud of you guys. I think there were 26 or 27 people. Jamie, I don't know. Huh? 29? 29 adults and 10 kids? Man. 29. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That was unusual, honestly, for what I heard around the grounds for groups. When we were at the Ohio tent, they were stomped, the leaders. They were like, wow, this is amazing. You guys all hang together? Yeah, we're a family. We're a team. So thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for going. Thank you for paying and spending the time and all that. So there's a cool shot of our Ohio tent. And we had lots of them. So if you're not in that one, you know, we had people interchanging and working together. Stephanie was leading too. She's not in this picture. I don't have that one here, but she was also leading in the tent. Can you put the video? Is there another one? Yeah. Share briefly about the painting and the outreach. How many of you were part of the outreach teams? Look at that. Look at that. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Going out with clipboards in the heat of the day and going around and seeing people get delivered and saved. I mean, that is just so cool. It was really, really appreciated by the Lord, I'm sure, and everybody from Ohio. So thank you guys for doing that. And as you know, Andy was heading up all of the painting for inside of the tent, and then outside of the tent, we were doing the prophetic art and drawing with clipboards. I think we had 20 of those. Is that not coming up, Andy? It is. And so we have the pictures, right, from inside the tent. Most of the people were from Frontline, not all, but most of the people were from Frontline doing the prophetic art, and then Andy was giving teaching sessions on how to do the prophetic evangelism three times, Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. So that was really cool. Okay. Yeah. This one? Okay, this quick video was, this shows you what was happening in the spirit right after. This is on the metro, it's on the subway. I love this.
Sing it.
That doesn't happen on the metro. You love this.
Thank you.
It's just Andy and Nikki. Is that cool? I mean, I love that. It's like my favorite. Andy and Nikki, were you the only ones from Frontline on that? Amanda and Carlene, Amanda and Andy and Nikki. That's so cool. I just love it.
One really cool thing about that is that some of those people were so into singing worship songs, they missed their stop. Like, seriously, like two or three, like people were into it, and they're like, hey, where are we? And we're like, actually, your stop was three spaces back. You might have to get off and then go back. But it was so much fun because they were just so into what the Lord was releasing, which was incredible. And that was once we had gotten, there's a metro station on the National Mall, so once we got down in, the platform is just filled with people all from Awaken the Dawn. And then all of a sudden, a shofar blower in the metro station just lets loose, and everyone's like, yay! And even when we got on the train as well, someone like got in there and let loose, which was crazy. And obviously, I know I sent a video to some of you guys, but thank you all who stepped into the evangelism. It was powerful. It was crazy. And one of the things that was most encouraging to me is that some of you took initiative and encouraged other people from the Ohio tent to step out in the prophetic in this whole new avenue. I even received an email from a woman who was encouraged because she's like, I'd never done this before. I was encouraging her Friday night. I was encouraging her all day Saturday. And she's like, well, I'm not really an artist. And then she like flips open this thing with all these colored pencils and everything else. And okay, I'm like, you're lying. You're an artist. But, you know, and I was like, hey, the sign-up sheet's right here. Can I do it? And she's like, oh, I just want to flow with the Spirit. I don't want to commit to anything. And I'm like, Jesus, get her. But she went out with Troy and Brenda and some others Saturday evening. And the Lord totally just opened up the door, confirmed different things for her. And she began to step out in confidence and, you know, like, hey, I'm hearing from the Lord. And one of the things was, I hope I'm not butchering it, but she drew for a couple people from Awaken the Dawn. And she drew a cross and then some stars around the cross or a star in the middle of the cross. And the people from Awaken the Dawn are like, well, that's interesting. Because at our church, we pray through the stations of the cross, and we usually do that, and it's a starlit night. And she had some word, what was it about, like, it was, she had some specific word that she had expressed that the Lord was putting on her heart. And that was the very thing that those people call their intercession time. So she was encouraged. She stepped out, and then she, you know, sent me an email, and she's like, I'm so happy. I'm going to totally start doing this down here and wherever they're at, I think Dayton, just to, you know, reach out new and fresh evangelistically. And she had actually encouraged somebody else to come with us on Sunday morning, again, to reach out prophetically with evangelism. And she got partnered up with Teresa, and they totally led somebody to the Lord. So all this fruit was happening, and all this synergy was being stirred up, and it's just a really, really, really amazing time. And, you know, Rick and Jera, they led a Chinese man to the Lord, so much to the point he was so touched by the love of Jesus that he hugged Rick, correct? And that's pretty rare for Chinese aren't the most overly affectionate people, but for him to, like, literally reach out with a hug and respond to Rick and Jera in that way is just, like, you know that the love of the Lord is being released, so it's just so cool, all the things that were happening in the Spirit, and it was an amazing time. There we go.
Okay, I muted it, sorry. We're continuing this. So if you couldn't go, you weren't there, whatever, you know, just run with us on this. We were just trying to follow the Lord. We hung out with Troy and Rachel and the kids Monday night after Rise Up, and I left my shoes there. And I was like, oh, no, left my shoes. And we left the next day, if I got the days right here, Monday or Tuesday. And I really missed them throughout the rest of the week. It's like, oh, and I got them this morning. Elijah just handed them to me. And, you know, I just thought, man, I could just give a message on shoes because blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And the Lord's saying, run, baby, run. Run, baby, run. While you're soaking, while you're resting, run, baby, run. And some of us have a hard time when our back goes out, when we ingest chlorine, you know, toxic fumes. when we have other things that happen. We get in a car accident. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen and have happened this week or the end of last week. And God is saying, hey, listen, I'm still on the throne. Things are moving, and I'm going to teach you more how to stand in the gap. I'm going to show you my glory. I want you to see the miraculous. I want you to walk in destiny. I want you to see that things aren't always easy. I want you to get that. And I'm going to take you to a place where you understand. You might even get words about it, that suffering is okay for Jesus because it's scriptural. And so we're going to understand the difference between things that we invite to come against us and things that happen because we're stepping out for Jesus. You know, the Lord wants us to understand and get his mind and know what he's saying. He's saying, if you'll go low, you'll humble yourself, and you'll be willing to do what I say and not resist my voice, I'm going to give that to you more and more and more. So that's where we are. And we're just saying, Lord, you know, how do we do all this? We're already getting emails from Ohio, from the state tent people. Okay, you guys ready to go? Let's meet again. We got some plans. Well, let me tell you, Andy, put that picture up of Pastor Bill in the rain, would you? For Rise Up, which was on Monday, we get off the metro. Now, we'd been up all night the night before, okay? Now, this is not, wow, look at the pastors and leaders. Isn't that so cool? They can do it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, we're up all night on Sunday night. We went back to the hotel to have some breakfast or, do you know, get ready, whatever, and got back on the metro, went in, and it's pouring down rain. Awake in the Dawn is totally rain-free and beautiful weather. I mean, easy, simple, perfect weather, no breeze that was, you know, not good or anything like that. So it was really easy. And then you get to Rise Up, and we get off the metro, and, you know, umbrellas are blowing everywhere. It's really crazy. As soon as we get on the mall, it's pouring. It's nuts. And Lou Engel, in his nice, calm voice, says, get on your knees. It's like, oh, yes, Jesus. So you're on your knees, you know. It's like, because it's it's like, Jesus, I just want to flow, and I want to hear. And it's not dry, and it's not just a few raindrops. I mean, there's literally, like, you're in a little lake, and you're kneeling in the lake, and it's okay, you know. And it's really okay, because Jesus is there, and he's saying, get on your knees through the man. So it's really cool to see, and I probably had one of the greatest times of intercession and wailing and travailing of my life there for family and issues and friends and all kinds of things. It was really, really strong, and I'm just really grateful. But this was my husband. He didn't know I'd show this, and he's not a woman. He's at Rise Up, okay? And he's on his knees in the rain praying as God's leading, and I just want you to know how blessed you are to have this male warrior, worship warrior, Papa in this house. You really are. Thank you. It's the truth. It's the truth. And that's for Jesus, really. But just to let you know that we need to be together. We need to have strong marriages, which we do, thank God, in this house. We want to see fullness of men and women fulfilling the calls on their life in fullness. I already said that. So that we understand this. So when you watch this video that we're going to show in a little bit, after we release the kids, they're not going to watch us. It's long, and you'll have to get it online. But we're going to watch this. You know, I don't want you to think, well, now they're just talking about the ladies, and this is just for the women. No, no, no. Lou Engel is painting a picture about Rise Up. But what's really cool is he brings it all together at the end and talks about Israel, because that's what this is about. God is saying, I want the men and the women to fulfill the calling on their lives, to work together, their synergy. It's not one or the other. It's how they flow. And if you've got a marriage where you've got a weak man or you've got a weak woman or whatever, they're not strong in things of the Lord together and flowing together, even with their differences, that slows down the train. And the Lord's saying, come on, get on the train, get on the ship, get on the boat. So we're looking for strength. You know, and to celebrate that, we have Troy and Rachel's 12th wedding anniversary today. And that's the number of government. It's a very powerful number, and I just don't think it's an accident that that's going on. You know, and another thing, too, just so that you know, way back in the beginning of Frontline, this wonderful young man, 14, 15 years old, Andrew Chapman. He goes to the nations for work, and he was with us in Ghana a couple years, I believe, and in India. He's amazing, amazing human being, and I love him with all my heart. And he's a spiritual son, and he lives in D.C., works for the State Department, has been around the world. I mean, he's just cool. Single young man. He's just brilliant. And so I hadn't seen him in years. The last time was when we went to the call, and we took a bunch of you guys to the call. Whatever, 2008 or something? Was that the last time? Oh, we came here for a weekend, so I did see him after that. Okay, 4 years ago or 5 years ago. But anyway, I'm wrong on that one, so thank you for correcting me. So Andrew was, he knew we were going to be there. I didn't realize he was around, but Troy and didn't tell me. So I'm sitting on the ground, and Andrew starts walking around, you know, about 10 feet away and just kind of smiling, looking. And I realized it was him, and I jumped up. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's Andrew. And I'm introducing him to all of you guys. I think everybody who went got to meet Andrew. If you didn't, sorry. But anyway, Andrew, and telling everybody about Andrew, what kind of guy he is. He's so amazing. And we just stuck together, went out to dinner, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, on Monday, he came back to Rise Up in the middle of the day. And those of us who were left ended up gathering around him. It stopped raining by then. And then we prophesied over him and lifted him up and everything. And then I get this text yesterday that his mom had a heart attack, and she was in the hospital. And it was really urgent. It's like, oh, my gosh. So I called him, and she had a heart attack, and she passed, and they brought her back twice. And so it was like, oh, my gosh. So it was really intense from the evening on. And they life-flighted her to another place. And then late last night, she passed, and she has not been brought back. And so she passed away. And she had lived in Michigan with all of Andrew's siblings, or many of Andrew's siblings, and then he's stationed in D.C., and mom moved out there, single mom, with the rest of the kids, or many of the kids anyway. And so it was really hard. All this was going on yesterday. All this was happening with other things going on, yet Troy and Rachel, you know, have their 12th anniversary, and we're excited about that. There's lots of highs and lows in this, and losing a mom is not a high point. It's a low point in your heart. Even as you know that mom's going to be with Jesus. Thank God for that. But it's still probably one of the most difficult things, if not the most difficult, that Andrew has faced to date. And so we've been in constant connection. And it's just like, God, what if? What if there wasn't this connection last weekend? It was so powerful, so strong, so stirring. What if, God, what were you doing? He's so smart. He knows. He knows. He didn't say, well, you guys got it wrong and you didn't pray right and that's why she died. That's not God, okay? But we don't see the bigger picture, but we're there to help Andrew see the bigger picture and to go through this time of grief, you see? And we'll keep you posted on what's going to happen. It's probably going to be back in Michigan, all the proceedings after this. But it's like, God, I just want to step back and I want to see the bigger picture. I don't want to just look at my little job right now. I don't want to just look at where I am with my family right now. I don't just want to look at my kid's next swimming lesson right now. I don't want to do that. I want to go beyond that in my thinking, in my understanding, in my prayers. And that's my encouragement to you as we watch this. Before we do, Andy's going to put up, if you would, the Relentless Pursuit video. I haven't seen it yet, but there is one. Guys, in less than 2 weeks, we have a major conference here, and we had a change yesterday. Who wants to hear the change? Okay, Pastor Jerseo is coming from Brazil, so that's brand new. So that changed yesterday. That changed last night. It's just crazy stuff going on. And Pastor, and we're going to do a live FaceTime or Skype interview. We've already talked through it. He can't come. Why? Because the Lord put things together, and I believe from your intercession to get him here, to pray for him, to raise the bar. He didn't come. He's not physically coming, but you know what? He's got his last set of case judgments that are going to happen on right before Relentless Pursuit, And now get this, to show you how God's on the throne. And do we regret asking him? No. Do we regret putting him on the flyer? No. We all stepped out in faith and felt peace. Let's do this. So it's not the result. It's listening to God when he tells us to do, right? And so we're all confident about that. So here's the deal. He needs a new attorney. So he says to the Lord, do you want to hear favor? Lord, I need a new attorney. I'm not going to go try to find one. You're telling me I need a new attorney, so I'm going to trust you. Bring me an attorney. He gets a phone call, and it was hard to understand. It's either that day or the day before. And he gets a phone call, and the phone call is from this guy who's an attorney in Delhi. Okay, not asked. And he says, would it be okay if I represent you? Would it be okay if I serve you? Can I be your attorney? This is not normal. This is supernatural. This is supernatural. I'm telling you. Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. And we, Pastor Bill and I, had this sense a few days this past week that something was shifting, that he's probably not coming, not just because it's close to Relentless Pursuit, because we're believing for a miracle. Just had this shift, like something's changing. So we just want to flow with the change. What is it? So I told him that. I said, well, I'm not surprised. And God's going to do something. So we've had this turn. So praise the Lord. So let's watch this promo, because we need your help. And we're going to have a short, really short, truthfully short, set of meetings after the message today, which is going to be the video here that we talk about, for Relentless Pursuit. And I'm going, what we're doing, guys, is after we finish all of this, Mike has already obviously changed this, so every email from now on will have the change, and we'll indicate that in the subject line. So if you have physical copies, you're going to have to get new ones on Tuesday from us. We don't have them right now. This all happened last night. Or lead people to the email that we're sending out today, and it will have the new updated version. That's all we can do. So we thank God for that. Okay? And again, the Lord said, don't charge. Okay, we won't. Who's going to pay for all this? I don't know. So please go register online. Please make a donation or however it's set up. And we do have a mission luncheon. And Mel Tari is coming. All these guys will be there. Maybe he'll be on Skype at the time. I'm not really sure. We have to figure all that out. That was all yesterday and day before. Very busy weekend. But we need to have, you know, help, okay? So after we're finished today, everybody's going to meet. I think Jamie is going to... Are you here, Jamie? Did you need to make any quick announcements for the people who have kids who are going to go into Kingdom Kids? Is there anything you wanted to say about meeting or anything about Relentless Pursuit right now? Really short after church. Okay, so everybody who is on Kingdom Kids, which you're going to in just a minute. All right. And lastly, so that the ones who are going to be teachers know this, we have Ben Atkinson coming in at the beginning of February. How many know and love Ben? And then at the end of February, we have Freedom Cry. But the Lord put it on my heart. Let's do Freedom Cry, Rise Up. Rise up, Freedom Cry. We can put that on our flyers, something new. So it'll be different. I don't know what it will be. But just take that as you are just moving forward. And also, just so that you know, Pastor Bill and I on Tuesday went to David's tent. And that is a 24/7 prayer and worship tent. I don't know if Andy has the picture from that. If not, I show it another time. And we're going to see about going out to David's tent. Ohio is going out to David's tent. So we're going to try to do this together, like we did for Ohio Awaken the Dawn, for Awaken the Dawn with Ohio. We want to do this as a family, as a team, so that we're not, you know, we're coming in as a group to help them, okay? And we'll let you know more about that. And then Lou Engel's going to do a call. Get this one. This is really nuts. November 12th, many will be in Ghana or someplace. November 12th in Cleveland. So you're going to hear that and go, what? So pay attention. You're going to hear it. November 12th. The inner city pastors in Cleveland have just been stoked by Cleveland Azusa. And so that's what we're doing. they're doing. We can go if we're here, you know? So that's November 12th. I mean, the momentum is powerful. It's strong. And the Lord's saying, get on that boat. Get on the ship. Don't just say that's for somebody else. It's time. It's really time. Things are moving quickly. Amen? Okay. Kingdom Kids time, finally. Look at that. They're like, whoa, finally. Okay, we've got like, what time is it? Okay, now, if you guys want to move up, you can. If not, you won't. All right. Everybody cool? Everybody's all right? Kids are fine? So we're going to show this. We're going to highlight a few points right before we do, so let's just get it ready. And we're going to talk about it. We're not showing all of it, we're showing some of it, but I think you will be really, really encouraged. And what Lou's trying to do here is help us remember the history line. There's a reason for this. If you like history, this will be helpful. If you don't like history, this will be helpful. Okay? This is like, what's going on? Why are we doing what we're doing? And we're still going to the nations. Yes, we're not shrinking back from going to Brazil, going to Ghana, going to any other places at all. Our conference for Relentless Pursuit is a missions conference. Okay? Come on. And it's like, wait a minute. We can't do both. We're on a mission all the time. So yes, we are. And so when we are having this luncheon, which will be at Troy and Rachel's house, their house is turning into a conference center. So we're having lunch over there. And we are charging for that because they're not paying for it. So go sign up, if you would, at our website, okay? Sign up and come to this, and then we'll see what God does. And maybe if somebody doesn't want to pay for it, maybe you can buy them lunch, whatever. Get them over to Troy and Rachel's house for that, and that will be on Saturday afternoon after the morning session, okay? Let me just see what else I want to say to preface this. He moves rather quickly. I've watched this several times. And I know Lou is intense. And it's like, who is that guy that's screaming at me? He's not. He's just really excited. You know, and he's really used by the Lord. And he's wanting to stir people. And I don't think he's used to maybe groups of people, maybe with houses of prayer that group together, but maybe not churches that have a heart where people are just saying, hey, let's do this as a team. Let's do this together. And that's what's very different about Frontline. And we are a family, and we operate that way and try to, you know, the best we know how. So anyway, he's going to talk a lot about Rise Up, which is just the one day, as I said. And he's going to he's going to be talking about generals of intercession and calling fasts. And here's something that I didn't remember to say when everybody was still in here. I forgot. But we've been talking about how to do, you know, typically we have 100 hours of prayer and worship in November. And, you know, with the schedule that we've got and going overseas and all this happening, this is like, Lord, don't think this is going to happen in November. Don't think this is going to happen. So he kind of gave us some ideas of doing this right at the beginning of the year, right at New Year's. So we're thinking, Lord, let's do something to just kick off the year. Let's do something that is involving the first few days, you know, the first 100 hours. And I don't know if it's going to be January 1 at midnight or whatever. We're going to figure all that out, and Jamie's working on that. But what we're going to do, and we always invite teams in, and it's always so cool, but it's going to be right after everything, you know, so beginning 2018. So That's in the pipeline, and it's just like, wow, this is a good idea. Lord, we've never done this before. This is awesome. We can do this the first week of January, right after, and just come. And I mean, there's nothing, I don't want to say nothing greater, but I know Lawrence loves and others love just coming here and then worshiping, interceding in the middle of the night. We keep this place open. We do it in the fall, and we do it in the spring. How are we ever going to have a 24-hour 24/7 prayer thing in Ghana if we can't do something here, right? So we're going to see that in Ghana. We're going to see it in Brazil. We're going to see different places, as well as going to the nations and training up missionaries. And I mean, there's a lot going on here. So despite not small or seemingly small beginnings, because they're not at all. So this is going to happen in the first couple days, 3 to 4 days of January. So then, after this is planned, it's like, yes, God, you're so smart. Lou Engel comes on. We've planned this first. And he says, we're going to call a 21-day fast starting January 2nd. It's like, ah, this is great. Oh, my gosh. So we're going to work out what that would look like and how to get this, keep this momentum going from January 1, 2018, all the way through. There's lots of things planned, and we do what we can do. We just want to put things before the Lord and really get the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what we want to do. So let's listen to this. Take notes if you want, just so you can kind of get what he's saying and get it in your spirit, okay? We have, how many of you are really hot against human trafficking? It's like, ah! Okay, that seems to mark our body a lot, right? Okay, so we're having Freedom Cry. We're involved in other things in the community. We do things overseas. We do things here. So it's really strong, all right? So it's like, well, I do that, but I don't go to nations. It's like, don't stop. Don't think that way. We've been going to nations for 20, this is our 22nd year, I think, 21st, 22nd year. So we still are doing that. We're not stopping. It's not, well, I do human trafficking here, but then I do nations over here. It doesn't work that way. That is elementary, immature thinking. It just is. And God's saying, I want to recalibrate your mind, your spirit, so you can see the bigger picture. When you get the bigger picture more and more and more, that's what I'm crying for. It's like, Lord, I'm seeing more than I've ever seen before. And I just want to steward whatever you're throwing our way. Really, wow. Okay? That's what an Esther will do. That's what a Deborah will do. That's what a David will do. That's what a Daniel will do. It's like, Lord, your heart, your heart, your heart. How do we do this? And how do we make it work with people who have different giftings and anointings and coming together as a family? I mean, God's got a really cool model here. It's not my idea, but I like it. It's not easy, but it's simple. There's a difference. It's not easy, but it's simple. Think on those two words. Not easy, but it's simple. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So anyhow, help us. You already are, so when I say that, it's for the tape because you guys are here and you're doing that, and I thank you for that. But just be encouraged because many, many things are being birthed right now. And if you've been having visions and dreams of birthings and things like that, oh, my goodness, just hang on. And what Lou Engel thought was fully birthed may not be fully birthed. And that's what he said in this video, this follow-up. So it's like, okay, what do we mean by that? What do we do with that, God? But I'm telling you what, if we are not learning more and more how to truly, 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 say truly, truly hear the voice of the Spirit of God, we're gonna make our own deal, and it's gonna sound really good to us because we can always get an amen and get somebody to agree with us. We want to hear, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? That's why when Pastor Jacob is on this Skype thing, we want to hear what he has to say. We are talking on the phone for a good half hour, just talking about persecution, talking about suffering for Jesus, talking about the joy of the Lord, talking about how great Jesus is. And I told him the vision I had, you know, in D.C., and he's telling me other things. And he said, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Everything that comes out of his four-year-old's mouth is Jesus. That's what he told me. Jesus is always on her lips. That's because Jesus is coming out of her dad and her mom, partly. It's really true. It's convicting to hear that. It's like, ooh, yeah. Thank you for that, little spank, Jesus. So let's watch this with a new heart of saying, okay, what can we do? All right, we're going to start, by the way, a Song of Solomon Holy Club. We're going to do that. Maybe we'll do more, but we're going to do it at the girls' house. With Jamie and Carly are going to head that up because Ben got it from God, and it's the next deal. We already did the foundational, the firm foundational for 24 weeks. And so this Song of Solomon, they're going to do it in the favela in Brazil. Come on. And they're ready to do it. They're translating it right now. And we're going to start one. If you want to jump into that, or, you know, we'll see what happens. But these ladies are all about it. It's like, okay. All right, God, we're with you. Are you encouraged? Let's listen to Luz. He's wild, man. Okay, here we go. And he's with this guy. What's his name? Michael Brimmer. Brimmer.
Welcome, everyone. We're in Colorado Springs. My name is Michael Brimmer. I'm here with Lou Engel. And Lou, we've been talking about just since yesterday. We put out a Facebook Live post, and over 25,000 people have viewed it, and it's gaining momentum. And essentially, we just recapped what happened in Washington, D.C. with Rise Up. A lot of the comments that you guys have been giving us feedback have been, where did it all start? There's such a buzz right now about what happened, what took place, and the millions of people around the world that got to see it. And so, Lou, just recap. Talk about just how it was birthed, how it started.
Yeah, I think it's important that we remember the history line of this. We've heard that many are actually viewing this, the Facebook Live, not even know they weren't there. They don't even know how it began, but they're interesting because there's a buzz. Can I say, let's let the Holy Spirit continue this buzz. Let's be talking, praying, because I believe we're in a great momentum builder to a third great awakening in America, to justice rolling down like waters. I go back in many ways, 17 years, praying, how can we turn America back to God? It launched something called The Call. We're on the very mall 17 years ago, where we were just last weekend with Rise Up, 400,000 gathered together to fast and pray. It's been 17 years, and this last gathering, Rise Up, a women's gathering, I believe was maybe one of the most significant of the whole history. It was really born 3 years ago. We were in the Awaken the Dawn conference down in Virginia, and a lady, Terry Buck, shared her story. She actually shared it on the day. And by the way, you can watch the video.
Yes. You can go to thecall.com, and you also go to The Call Facebook. We have it in three clips of videos. You can watch the entire day in its entirety from beginning to end. It was so powerful.
You keep the fire burning inside, simply going back and praying along with it. But Terry Buck has been praying at a rock, and it's called Mary Washington's Rock. It is a place where Mary Washington prayed for her son, George Washington, during the Revolutionary War. She prayed for his safety and the survival of the nation. And a word came forth that there would be tens of thousands of women that would begin to be moved by her story. And women and mothers would rise up, and they would pray for the salvation of their children and the survival of America. 3 years ago, we declared this, and that we declared that a women's movement like Promise Keepers 20 years ago put more than a million men on the mall to pray for America. And so we declared that women are going to go to the mall, and they would be fasting and praying, and it would be a last stand against unrighteousness. And they would unite, and they would be the hammer that would break Roe v. Wade and end abortion. 3 years went by, and then the women's march took place on the mall, in D.C. And I am saying that women's march just recently after the inauguration of the president, they were echoing a sound that I believe is being heard. And that sound is this. It is a time, a God time, for women to arise into their destinies, into their callings, and into their intercessory calling to give birth to something that could save a nation, like a Jesus movement where hundreds of thousands of kids would be saved. We declared that word, and then the women's march took place. But we know that millions of women watched that march and said in their hearts, that is not our revolution. Because you see, it was actually not founded on the principles of the Word of God. In many ways, it was an angry movement. And in many ways, it didn't touch God's heart. In fact, a book came out about the march called Rise Up. And there in the corner of it said, all the proceeds go to funding Planned Parenthood. We know the agenda of that gathering was the ongoing right to kill unborn babies. But we believe there is another voice. The crisis is producing, I believe, an Esther and a Deborah who would rise up in a crisis in America. This is what we prophesied. And they would rise up to save a nation. They would break Haman's decree of racism, the Jewish-Gentile issue with Esther, the race issue, and they would actually break Haman's decree, which was a genocidal decree to destroy a people group. I believe this is the hour that women are rising all across the world, but a right sound must be heard from heaven. So for 3 years we pondered that, and when I saw that, I knew in my heart that something was going on. It was a time for the women to arise. So I went to Estes Park, and I was actually up there for 5 days seeking God. Witches worldwide were joining together to curse this nation, to curse the righteous people in this nation. And I had a dream, and in this dream, during these 5 days, I was out in an open field, and as far as I could see, women were coming. It was like a revival. It was a buzz. I'm the only guy in the gathering with another man, only two guys, and he's giving me his Bible. And I know now what it meant. God was giving me the word of the Lord. These women were coming, many of them young girls. They were coming to hear the book of Esther be taught. And in this dream, and it may sound weird, but I knew what it meant. In the dream, a woman stood up, and she said these words. She said, what did she say? I remember the story.
This was the Nazgul.
My mind went blank.
Okay, when she says, "I am no man,"
and the women stand up, and she says, "I am no man," and destroys the Nazgul. When I woke up instantly, I knew what it meant, because the third part of the movie, The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, these Nazgul were the demonic spirits in the form of these kind of zombie-like beings, and they were destroying the armies of men. And this head of the Nazgul, the Witch King, declared, "No man can kill me." And yet the princess, who is shielded in men's armor, takes off her helmet, lets her hair down, and she says, "I am no man." And I woke up, and she pierces the Nazgul and destroys it, and the battle is won. I woke up, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. There is coming a women's movement, that there are certain spirits that only women can take out. And I believe at that point, we believe we touched something, and the women rose up. I called a three-day Esther fast, like in the book of Esther, when Haman released his decree of destruction, of death. She calls a three-day Esther fast, and it ends up breaking Haman's decree. So here's the deal. I called for a three-day Esther fast because when those witches were rising up worldwide, I knew we were in a spiritual battle. I called this three-day Esther fast, and all around the world, it was like in 10 days, a sudden mobilization took place, and in 7 continents, even the Antarctic, in 83 countries, women were fasting and praying to break that witchcraft. I knew at that moment that the Holy Spirit was pointing his finger. It is time for the women to arise to save a nation. Like Deborah, when war came to the city gates, Deborah arose, mothers giving birth to a new Jesus movement, salvation breaking out. And we saw in our heart that we were to gather people to the mall, the women to the mall, and that was rise up. And we just heard yesterday the Parks Police in D.C. estimated 22,000, and on the mall, 30,000 at its peak. And literally, there are millions that have streamed in some measure or another. The sound is erupting, and it's continuing to grow. At times like this, we don't look back and say, "Wasn't that a cool day?" It was an awesome day. Yes. When those women were crying out for their children, telling their children, commanding their children, the prodigals, to come back home, visit my house. That cry, I know, reached heaven, but it's not enough to do it in just one day. In some ways, I felt like it was a birthing day, but maybe we're just in the birth pangs. Wow. I felt it, you know, it was October 9th. It was my birthday. Yeah. And just 2 days ago, I came back to Colorado, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. It was your birthday, but it was a day you'll never forget because it was a birthing day for all of America. And movements are being birthed now. We are getting feedback from people. I just read one just a moment ago where a woman has been feeling like for 7 years, in 7 years she would come into her Deborah calling, and this is the seventh year. She's 71 years old, and she feels she's stepping into her destiny. Listen, it's old and young. Women are asking the question, I've had a burden in my heart to do something, but I've never felt like it was an open door. It's not enough to say, that day opened it up, let's keep birthing. I've been feeling like, women, you are gathering in small groups praying. Don't stop the small groups now. What if you'd gather with women, your friends? What if you did it three times a week? Just keep gathering. I believe actually revival is like a spirit of momentum. You get the devil on the run. I played basketball. I know what it means. You drive him off the court. Women, just let's push this thing through until the full baby is birthed and great awakening and great justice rolls down. I feel that we are in that kind of birthing moment. It is an Esther hour. It is a Deborah hour. And I believe that's how it began. But we didn't see it just one day. We saw an Esther movement. Yes. Could we dream that in 4 years, 2020, could we dream literally of a million on the mall? We don't know, but we're dreaming about conferences, rise up conferences all through America. Maybe you're thinking, God, I want it in my own city. Why don't you start praying? Begin to stir. Some of you have had this vision of mobilizing women in your heart, and you felt like you were afraid, like, could I really do this? But something happened that day to command into your soul faith for you to rise up. Yes. You know, I remember years ago, nobody even knew me, but I was at a gathering of 1,000 intercessors in the back row, and a man named Chuck Pierce, who knew me, said, if that man Lou Engle's here, would he come down and start this gathering? I was sitting in the back row. I didn't even want to be there in some ways.
Yeah.
But I walked down the center aisle because he said, would you come and begin to lead this meeting? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You can no longer hide in the shadows of insecurity. Rise up and call the nation to fasting and prayer. That was the beginning of the call. And I want to say some of you have voices, generals of intercession. Begin to mobilize prayer until this whole nation is on fire with women crying out, praying, and commanding the release of a new day of salvation and justice in America.
Wow. And I just want to say, like, with me and the media crew, when we came up that morning, we're coming out of the subway. I mean, it's pouring rain, but I'll never forget the feeling. The Holy Spirit had descended on the Washington Mall, and you look down the sea of umbrellas, and these young women that have come across the country with their mothers just crying out that God would save a generation. It was probably one of the most impactful times of my life. And right now, as you're watching this on Facebook, tag somebody. Just put their name in the description. Shout out where you're from. This moment right here and what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is saying through this movement, it needs to get out there. I mean, the whole I Am Esther movement, yes, it mobilized worldwide fasting and Esther fast. And that's what we're seeing the Lord doing through social media. And that's what we want you to do. So tag someone right now. And Lou, while people are doing that, just share your heart with where Rise Up you see going forward in cities where women are saying, we want this to happen in our city.
Well, I don't know how it happens. It all starts with somebody that gets a dream, a vision, and a passion in their heart. Maybe you've been weeping over something like sex trafficking, and it's inside of you. Pay close attention to your tears, for your tears point you to your destiny. You see, that's how it all starts. God will raise up a man or a woman, put a fire in their soul, and then they take the big risk that I am not going to stay in the safe place. I am going to lift my voice and make it be counted. That's what Esther did. She says, I'm going to the king, and if I die, I die. There is an element of in every person's life when they have to take responsibility for what burns in their soul, and it is a big risk. Can I tell you? Take the big risk. Step up in your sphere. Begin to gather women. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God, bring a rise up here. Begin to communicate with our own with our offices. We believe right now, I've just asked several women, are you willing to take up the leadership of Rise Up? Because you see, it's one thing to look to us guys. I'm a 65-year-old man. I never saw that movement. I saw a movement of women rising up, women leading the movement. Cindy Jacobs, who led this with me, is a great general of intercessor, general of intercession. In 2001, after the first call, I had a dream. And in this dream, she was actually hugging me as a mother. And I was weeping because she was calling me into her own calling as a general of intercession. Well, I'm calling you into this right now. I am calling generals of intercession. And some of you are feeling it right now. Your hearts are burning inside. And I'm telling you, I believe this is the future of America. We saw it. The women would be the last stand against unrighteousness. And I'm seeing, I believe women gathering together with racial unity, African-American, Anglo. What if we started inner city meetings with African-American women, calling the Anglo women in the suburbs, call them into the inner cities. Say, God, give us the children, the sons and daughters of the inner cities. This is how we've got to think right now. We can't just think. The Bible says this, great is the number of the women who are heralding this message. I don't want just a few. God is saying, great is the number of the women, and he's issuing a command. It's not a suggestion. And then it says, those who stay at home reap the spoil. Some of you are housewives. Listen, I remember Joy Dawson, that great intercessor lady of the YWAM movement. She said, my prayer calling was born as a mom, where I would take my kids in my van. I was taking them to swimming or taking them to whatever else. She said, I would just be praying in tongues. I got my intercessory anointing as a mother. Come on, don't wait till you get a calling up on a stage. Begin to intercede in your vans. Get your kids praying. Let's declare that something is going to visit America, born even out of a housewife's great calling. That's how it works. JL, at home, drives the tent peg into the mindset of Sisera. I see women rising up, driving the tent peg of intercession into the mindset of racism, into the mindset of abortion, where we can destroy those ideologies with fasting and prayer. In fact, I don't want to miss this moment. We feel these two great issues are challenging America, the life of the unborn and the racism that's going on. This stuff that's going on in Charlottesville, it is a time for the church to rise up and say, this is despicable. And what's going on in Charlottesville, the church is now uniting black and white together. Wow. Because the crisis is driving us together. See, the Lord's using the crisis. See, the devil always overplays his hands. And if he ever gets the women moving, he's really in trouble. He really is in trouble. This is what we want to do. We're pondering, calling a 21-day fast, January 2nd. Through January 22nd, right in the middle of it, we on January, the weekend of Martin Luther King's holiday, we're doing this gathering, this movement called the Revival Man, that we're targeting racism in seven cities across America. We've just started in Cleveland, 10 to 12,000 in the queue. The black and whites have come together. Now the black leaders there, the African-American leaders, a man whose dear friend, pure heart, Bishop Macon, is on November 12th calling the body of Christ, black, white, and Hispanic, and Asian, all back to the queue where LeBron James plays. He's moving on it. There's this sense that we're finding one another, and it's not a political thing. We're joining in the great moral issues of our day. Wouldn't it be amazing for a 21-day fast? In the middle of it, Martin Luther King's holiday, we're going to Columbus and Cincinnati. We would be fasting all together, different races. Break racism. Unite the church together. Give us a voice around Jesus, a multi-ethnic house of prayer that could save our cities. And then right into January 22nd, the 21st day of that fast, that is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. What if in 21 days we took both of these things like a sledgehammer, like a pincer movement, and the whole body of Christ would rise up to move demons who are trying to destroy and divide this nation? Yes. Only a united church could heal a divided nation. In the middle of this whole revival movement, we are going to have Rise Up, take it right with us. We're going to have the ethnic women crying out to God for revival, for their children to be saved, for the unity. See, I think all of this is coming together. We didn't even plan this, that we've gone after the division of fathers and children. We've gone after the division of Native Americans and the Anglos. We've walked the Trail of Tears. I did 40 days of fasting and prayer in the inner cities of Detroit, trying to walk it out and heal. I believe we've come to a point when women, that gender unity can take place. And then after that, we're going into a whole new day, because in 2018, concerning the Jewish picture. We're going to show a video. Can we just show that video now?
Let's put it up now. This is, we will be going to New York City for a call, and the dates, I mean, you know, we'll put those up on the website, but it's going to be next year. So I just want you to watch this video.
2018, the 70th anniversary of when Israel became a nation. The UN in 2018, here's that video. 1967, the Messianic movement began and Jewish people started getting saved. It's 50 years, it's Jubilee. It was many years ago that I and my friend were in Jerusalem, and he had a dream. And in this dream, he received a phone call from four Ruths. Ruth Prince, Derek Prince's wife, who loved Israel. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife. And Ruth Heflin, who is a friend of Israel. And the fourth Ruth was Ruth of Ruth and Boaz, who said, "Your people shall be my people." I knew the dream was that there was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, "Your people will be my people." We're declaring Jubilee. It's time for another great messianic awakening in the name of Yeshua, that you would loose a worldwide messianic movement. Living God, awaken the Jewish peoples.
Okay. Father, we just we just agree, Father, with heaven. We just agree right now, and we thank you, Lord, for the impartation in our souls. We thank you, Lord, that our mind, our will, our emotions, and our bodies are gathering around what you're saying and what you're doing, Lord, and that you would continue to keep that fire lit on the inside of us, Lord, that we would be able to hear how we go about partnering and doing the things that you're calling us to do. So we thank you, Father, for the international call as well on this house. And we thank you, Lord, for the nations that are already being touched and how we can take this anointing abroad as well as here in the United States. So, Father, for the short term, we're just asking for those who've been touched deeply, Lord, to say yes and not hold back and say, "Count me in. I'm all in." Lord, we just want to be together and we want to say, "How do we do this together, God? How do we do this with similar hearts? How do we do this, God? How will it look? Give us everything that we need. We just send ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you. We surrender to you. We're not too busy. We're not too preoccupied. We're not making excuses. We're going to say yes and amen, God, for you've given us a charge. And Father, there are leaders in this house, and we thank you, God, for the charge here that we can be used to equip others. So we're asking, Father, the gathering anointing that you've given us will gather many to be able to come into this place. We go out to the highways and byways, and Father, we take out the gospel of the kingdom, because at the end of the day, you want to see your children set free. You want to see salvation in the households. You want to see prayer and intercession moving. You want to see heaven populated. So we thank you, God, for the great word that we heard from Daniel Kalenda in November or in July. We thank you, God, that he said there will be no Laodicea churches here. Thank you, God, that we just grab on and say no. Thank you, Lord, that you shake us out of any complacency and you light that fire, God, for us to be able to say yes and yes and yes and yes, and that we will not resist your yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the great joy. Thank you for the great peace. Thank you, Lord, that you are showing us the way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for raising up all that was talked about today. Thank you, Lord, for the ideas that you're giving us. Thank you for the people today who will say, yes, count me in. So we thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless Lou Engel and his family. And we thank you, Lord. He has said this has been the worst, the most difficult of satanic attacks in recent time. He says enjoy on another video. So I thank you, Lord. We just bless their family. We bless many of the leaders, God, who are going around the nation, who are going to the countries, God, other countries, and are saying, I just want to flow. I just want to do it your way. So I thank you, Lord, for the call in this house, which will gather around leaders here and say yes. Thank you for the manpower. Thank you for the woman power. Thank you, Lord. It's power in the Holy Ghost as we each take our place. Thank you, Lord, we have no lone rangers, that we move together. We move in tandem, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for interpersonal connections. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for interdependence in our family here. Thank you, Lord, that we are interdependent. We link arms so that we have that strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are so good and so faithful. Just going to exhort you guys to read Ruth and read about Ruth and Boaz, read about the kinsman redeemer, spend time in your, we're not speaking and preaching about it today, but understand why he named four Ruths, why that's so important, and why he's mentioning these keys now for each one of us to be able to say, I'm going to be counted in. And if there are demonic principalities and powers that women need to gather in, and be able to move out of the way, that's fine. That does not take men off the hook. That does not say, men, you are not fasting and praying. I personally don't think he says it enough on this video, but we're together in this. This is not a separate thing. We are together. But he is also raising up women, because many women have been thumbed. We are not thumbed in this house, so it's not really, are you okay? Come on, let's rise. It's let's go and do what we're supposed to do as we're rising. Because we have that here. Thank God we do. But it's not common in northeastern Ohio, let me tell you. And I can speak from authority on that one, okay? So we're going to do it. We're going to continue to rise, not in pushiness, but in power. And there's a big difference. Thank you for that word, Jesus. So I'm just encouraging you guys to say yes. If you want to help us with Freedom Cry that we're just stepping out, we're going to do. Frankly, I just honestly felt like Lou Engel. I really didn't want to be there. There's so much going on. It's like Rachel and I were talking. It's like, okay. But the Lord just stoked me and said, just go and do it. Watch what I do. It's going to be different. Okay. I don't know what that means. But we need your help. We need your ideas. We need your help. So talk to Rachel. Talk to Michelle. Okay. And say, count me in. This is men and women for Freedom Cry. This is not just women. This is men and women. We're going to do something different. Not really sure what that is. And Ben's coming in at the beginning of February to pave the way also. I don't know what that's exactly going to look like. Okay? If you've got a heart, for starting a holy club and you want to do that, you've got time to do that, come and let me know. We've got one that's starting for women. But there's lots of other things. We've got prayer a couple times a month, against human trafficking and all that here at noon. Most people can't come at that time. But if you can... In other words, you're physically not forbidden to come. Then come. Make plans for it. And let's get together. Let's be one of those groups. We already are doing it. We have a very small, little, tiny 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe group at times. Sometimes it's not even that. So make plans to come. Come. It's lunch hour prayer, we call it. Just come. Come for 15 minutes. Maybe you're in this area working, so you can do it. Just come, but you have to plan for these kinds of things. And then we get together. You see, God honors those little small beginnings. He really does. So we're going to have this meeting. If you guys want to go get the kids, somebody go get them here. We're going to have this meeting about relentless pursuit, because this is very powerful, and it's coming on the coattails of Azusa Cleveland, coming on the coattails of Awaken the Dawn, coming on the coattails of Rise Up, and it's right now. And we were telling all kinds of people at the National Mall about this. I don't know who's going to show up. It's going to be different than last year. I will tell you that. It's going to be different. There are going to be more people here. I don't know any more than that, but we need you to do your part, too, like you guys have been doing. So, Jamie, if you want to come up and mobilize on it, Andy's going to be talking to his crew, whoever that would be. And we want everyone to be involved, to feel as though they're doing something with Relentless Pursuit. Because there's a bunch of stuff going on right now, and we just need the hands and the feet to do this, okay? So I need some leaders to come on up here and run with this. And may I suggest, guys, to see what you can do about getting here, you know, helping, but getting here. The anointing is on us. It's not just we do Relentless Pursuit every year. It happens to fall right here in the middle of all this, so it's a very big deal. So I know there are people who have got all kinds of things started, and somebody's going to come up and take this mic so I stop talking. So who would that person be? Who's coming up? Let's lead this brigade. There's one.